You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday, July 10th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside Corey Parson, the fantasy executive, Scott the King Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman. Happy Monday to you all. Hope you had a fantastic weekend. And we have some fun stuff this week. It's the All-Star break in baseball. So every day this week, I thought it'd be fun to go over the leaders and losers in all the 5x5 categories. We'll do that to start, to end this hour, to start next hour. All 5x5 categories. Let's see how well everybody knows what's going on in baseball. So we'll be able to discuss that literally all week long. A lot of football to get to as well over the next 2 hours. It's going to be a lot of fun, of course, this week. We will continue our sophomore slump versus breakout conversation with some less heralded players that we had on Friday. We're also going to get to some similarly named players that we don't want you to confuse when it's time to draft. So we have that coming up as well later on in the program. Corey Parson, my man, how are you?
Yo, excuse me. Need to clear my throat a little bit. What's good, Greg? How was the weekend?
Weekend was good, man. Weekend was good. No complaints. Yeah. Was just hung out in the city Saturday for me, and then Sunday I hung out with my mom.
I was on the block.
You're on the block. How was that?
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, I didn't. Nothing happened.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it was hot out.
Very hot out.
Well, no, not that kind of hot.
Oh, sure.
Like the hot, like the police. 12 was riding around a lot.
Okay. Were you hanging out with Jenny from the block?
No. That's
she was in Yankee Stadium this weekend.
That's a culture vulture, man. That's not really. She's not.
She
really
was in Yankee Stadium. I think on Saturday.
Yeah, Jenny doesn't live on the block anymore.
No,
I can assure. I don't know if she ever did, to be honest with you. Scott, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. A lot done this weekend. Caught up on a lot of rest. Did some reading. Went out with the family for Japanese food. Went to the park and got a lot of work done.
Would you say that you I never pictured Scott Engel a sushi eater.
I didn't eat sushi.
Hibachi fried rice?
I had beef hibachi.
Oh, that's delicious.
It was good.
Hibachi fried rice is one of my favorite things.
Same. I could eat so much.
You know what? I
didn't
try the fried rice with hibachi. I'm going to have to try that next time I go back.
Oh, you must.
Yeah.
I could eat pounds of it, I think, to be honest with you. Maddie, how are you?
Good. I'm once again recharged. It's a magnificent Monday. Beautiful weather outside. Get that right in. And today is the fishbowl at noon.
Oh, my goodness, that's right.
I thought it was 11.
Oh, maybe it's 11.
Okay, but fishbowl.
Buy a shirt, you know, donate something. It's a really good cause, you know.
No doubt. Scott's Fishbowl. Fantasy Cares.
Oh, I forgot we have that. I better.
Because, you know, you got the different rules and roster stuff like that.
We got a lot of that. We're officially 4 hours away. You're right. It's 11 a.m.
11 o'clock.
That
Scott Fish going to be on the frenzy.
At 11 a.m. when the draft starts?
No, not when the draft starts.
That would have been cool. That would have been like...
He would be on BFF at 11 a.m.
That's a good point. When we come back, we begin with some football here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Stick around. We begin right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Happy Monday to you. Here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, thrilled to be with you.
Thrilled.
Yeah, I am thrilled.
I'm glad.
Thank you very much.
I'm thrilled to be here too, Greg.
Thank you, man. It's a good day. So, coming up in just less than four hours from now is the incredibly popular Scotch Fish Bowl, which everybody on this program is participating, some for the manyth time and some for the first time. Here we are. So, very excited to get going with that. And with Scotch Fish Bowl, I know Scotty will be on the Fantasy Football Frenzy coming up at 9 a.m. Eastern Time now. Coming up at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 9 to 11. And we wanted to get into this a little bit here because there is some quirks in Scott's Fish Bowl. And Matt and I, this is our first Scott's Fish Bowl, and we don't want to screw this up. I know Matt was trying to enter players, and he screwed that up already. And, like, the draft starts in 4 hours. We don't want to screw it up when the draft starts. I want to go to the veterans on the left side of the table in CP and Scott Angle to try to figure out what we should be doing during the draft. Because I don't want, like I said, I don't want to screw this up. So, Corey, what are the differences in Scott's Fish Bowl compared to a standard, 12-team PPR league?
Well, I think the one that's first and foremost is the fact that it's a super flex. So you can get in a situation where you see quarterbacks flying off the board pretty hot and heavy early in the draft, depending on what league you're in. Then you got to also take into consideration different rules when it comes to point scoring. I think a lot of people in the industry, the way they're handling this first down thing is not by even handling this first down thing. Just more or less overlooking it and playing it as a super flex standard. Rosters are deep. So you start a quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, and four flexes. Now, you can only flex one of those flexes can be a quarterback, but the other three have to be position players, so it's going to be interesting to see how the board shakes up. I got the fifth pick, and we'll get to that part later on.
Yeah, and you get 6 points for a passing touchdown, 1 point for 25 yards passing. The tight ends get an extra half a point for the first downs. And with the first downs, like Corey said, you're not going to go in there and maybe break down everything Pro Football Focus wise who catches the first downs, but you can use common sense. I was talking to Matt during the break, and guys who get a lot of carries, who are going to move the sticks a lot for their teams and be rhythm backs, or guys that you want to consider. Ezekiel Elliott is obviously going to be a superstar in a format like this, but if you really believe in, like Corey Parson does in Isaiah Crowell, he's going to get a lot of work. He's going to take a lot of pressure off the quarterback. There could be a lot of first downs. So you use common sense there. Also, when you're drafting receivers, a guy like Jarvis Landry is the guy that moves the sticks a lot for the Miami Dolphins. You won't get the touchdowns, but that guy is going to help move the ball a lot, and you have to imagine that he's going to get you a lot of first downs.
This is, as both gentlemen said, the key is you have four flex players. It is a very deep league, as Scotty likes to tell you, and it's two quarterbacks. So you got to get that quarterback early. And Corey, you said you have the fifth pick today in your draft, I believe. Is quarterback something you would consider with the fifth overall pick?
I think I will. With the fifth overall pick, it depends on how the first four go. So if the first four are quarterback, if two quarterbacks go in those first four picks, then I know this is going to be a quarterback heavy draft.
Okay.
So I'm definitely going to jump on one right off the rip. But if not, if I see one quarterback go in that first four picks, then I'm going to risk it.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Try to give it on a turn.
If you have the fifth pick and say two quarterbacks go in the first four,
yeah,
you're not going to take that running back there, or you have one of the top three. You'll pass on because like Elliott. Elliott's there for you.
Well, that's tough. You know what I'm saying? The thing about it, I had Elliott in the fishbowl last year. I might have took him at 1-1 last year. But last year, the rules were different. It was like, it was more weighted towards the running back. Here's what I think those first four picks, you got two quarterbacks going. When you come back in the second, you can be looking at Andy Dalton.
That's why I'm thinking I got the fourth pick, and I'm thinking if the top three backs go off, just take Rodgers.
I wouldn't be surprised if Rodgers was 1-1. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out today.
Yeah. And, looking back at just like the first downs things we're talking about, looking at the first down leaders from last year, according to sportingcharts.com, it's a lot of the top names you'll see. So that's why Corey is saying, a lot of people will just – not bother with the studying. Mike Evans, number one. T.Y. Hilton, number two. Odell Beckham Jr., Julio, Antonio Brown, Michael Thomas, Jordy, Larry Fitzgerald, DeAndre Hopkins, Michael Crabtree, your guy, number 10th in first downs. Travis Kelce, who Corey was talking about before the show as somebody who we find very intriguing. Edelman, Olsen, Garcon, Baldwin, and number 16, right, like there. I said, Jarvis Landry, and number 17, Willie Snead.
Another good one that you mentioned,
and
Scott.
Cole Beasley, number 19. Kelvin Benjamin was actually 20th.
It's Pierre Garcon, because Jake made a good point when it comes to first downs. A person who is like the center of the offense.
Yeah.
And I think that's why I say I would consider Kelce at 5, because he's the center of the offense and you get that point and a half for the first down. So I think Travis Kelce is viable at 5. Pierre Garçon's another guy. He's the center of the offense. Really the only guy that can move the sticks out there in San Fran if they move the damn sticks at all. So those are players like that. Players in offenses where they're like the main weapon to go to. Ezekiel Elliott.
When you talk about Garcon, though, he's going from Washington to San Francisco. Even if he gets like their first down, there's got to be a significant drop.
He's going
from Kirk Cousins to Brian Hoyer. I don't always buy into that he's the only guy, so he's going to get a lot of opportunities and rack up numbers thing. He really doesn't have anybody to take pressure off him. They can double team him. That offense is going to sputter a lot. There's a big difference from the offense he's going to the offense that he's in now. Just because he's the top guy, you know, defenses know that. They're going to say, we're going to take away Garcon, let the other guys beat us.
Do you think they're going to get shut out every game, Scott?
No, but what I'm saying is Pierre Garcon was 16th in first downs last year.
He's probably going to be higher than that this year.
He's going to drop.
No, he's going to go.
No, he's going to a much worse offense.
He's going to go up. Scott, who else going to move the sticks in San Fran?
I don't buy into that only guy theory.
All right, good.
Especially,
you don't buy into winning chips either. So apparently, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you just started winning recently. You sat and learned from me your last few years, so don't even start.
You know, it's interesting because I look at this first down thing. And you talked about what Jake's saying, kind of ignore it, and draft as you would. And yet here you are, Corey, saying you're considering Travis Kelce 5th overall. Now, it has to do with the tight end getting an extra point and a half per first down. But to me, as someone that, and you've preached pretty often, you're never taking Gronk. Kelce you like in the right, in standard drafts, or standard PPR draft, whatever. You'll take Travis Kelce if he falls in the right spot. But now you're talking about taking 5 overall. Like, I understand center of offense. I understand the extra point and a half. But that seems like a really big jump from where you take Travis Kelce in general.
Yeah, I'm looking at a player that is going to dominate touches in the offense.
Oh, I understand. Matty,
how else are they going to move the chain?
I understand that.
Yeah.
But then you're relying on Alex Smith. And to me, that means your first overall pick is Travis Kelce. He's a tight end in an Alex Smith offense. That would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people often overlook that when you draft like that top receiver or tight end, whatever it may be, you're drafting that quarterback as well.
Correct.
You know, you want to try and get good quarterbacks. That'll help, you know, guys that have proven track records. That's why, you know, I mean, I think in this, this is good for me right now. I'm actually excited for this. I think going quarterback early might be the way, especially that I'm not going to be picking until late in the second. So,
and real quick, here's some of the rushing first down percentage leaders from last year. Mike Gillisley, Bilal Powell, first and second.
It's another good one. Is Powell.
Ezekiel Elliott, Jordan Howard, Devonta Freeman, Latavius Murray, Le'Veon Bell, Derrick Henry, David Johnson, Ryan Matthews, Tim Hightower, Melvin Gordon, Mark Ingram, LeSean McCoy, Jay Ajayi.
Shady.
There you go with the running back. So I have the 8th pick overall in this draft for me today. And I think as I'm kind of looking at what I want to do with my queue, I think ultimately what I'm going to do, I really would like to have 7th pick, so this is frustrating. Because I'm going to list in some order, and I don't exactly know the order yet. I'm going to list the top 4 quarterbacks, given that it is a super flex league. The top 4 quarterbacks of Rodgers, Luck, Brady, and Breeze. Put them in here. Put the top 3 running backs in there. And then, I guess, Antonio Brown and get one of those 8 players is my first pick.
Real quick, that was first down percentage, but total first downs rushing last year, Elliott, David Johnson, Jordan Howard, Le'Veon Bell, Blunt, and DeMarco Murray.
You know what's
Murray.
Really interesting is that...
You didn't ask him?
Well, that was one of the things.
Like that's ever held you back
But
before.
The second thing is that, you know, you're going off about the first down percentage, wide receivers and running backs, and I'm sitting here on the total opposite end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. I am not even giving a crap about that.
Well, but I'm, to your point, a lot of these names are the same top players that you would have drafted.
Yeah, absolutely. But I just find it interesting, Scott.
But it moves DeMarco Murray a little bit up the board.
Not really. Not really in my mind, because again, that's
Quincy and Nunwa.
These are things from last year, and all can change here in year number two. I'm not going to be sitting here considering these first downs even remotely.
Put it like, by the way, Frank Gore was top 10.
I wouldn't trip off.
What I'm saying is,
we all talk about Gore every year. He's doing it.
We're going to come back. We'll talk more about Scotty's Fishbowl and not Scott Angle when we return here at the Red Retro to the Morning.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA Inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Angle, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Scotty's Fishbowl, which begins today at 11 a.m. And it's a perfect all-star week activity because we have nothing else going on. So much of a distract.
Hey, you know what's interesting about with a decision a lot of people in the Fishbowl going to have to make today, especially this thing being a super flex? What are you doing, Andrew Luck, today?
So it's interesting. I was reading you guys my cue during the break. Everyone went to break. So I'm trying to make it.
Bless you, Scotty.
You can shut your mic off. But God bless you. So I'm trying to make my cue, and I'm concerned about this quarterback thing because it is a super flex. I don't want to get shut out of the quarterback. Scotty was telling me during the break that he, you know, wound up with Matt Ryan and Blake Bortles, and that worked out incredibly well last year, of course. But for me, I don't know if I'm going to wind up with Matt Ryan or Blake Bortles here this year. So, you know, I've kind of queued it up right now, and I have Aaron Rodgers 1, I have Tom Brady 2, I have Drew Brees 3, and then I got Andrew Luck sitting there at 4. If I can get Andrew Luck at the 8th pick, I think I'm going to do it, Corey.
And if you see that, he hasn't thrown a pass.
I know.
In OTAs or mini camps.
I know.
Every time they put a microphone in his face, he says, "Oh, I'm just progressing. We'll start throwing soon." Really, nobody knows when he's going to start throwing. Right now, we're just banking on he's going to be there in week one. So now we got a situation today where we're drafting in the Super Flex League. A lot of people in the industry, you know what I'm saying? 720 something people in this thing. You got to think about it. If you're sitting at the back of the first round and Andrew Luck is there, what do you do? Do you take him or do you pass on him, Scott?
See, here's the thing. This is the thing about drafting early. It's you'll have some risks you have to take early on. You'll get some values, and you know, maybe you'll end up with some picks you don't like. That's the challenge of drafting early. You don't have as much news. But it's really, really hard to pass on Andrew Luck when he's on the board. But is there a closer-ranked quarterback that you know that you have ranked very close to him? What you take Matt Ryan, and you don't have any worries about Ryan's health. So if you're saying, okay, I have Luck 5 and Ryan 6, maybe you go with Ryan so you don't have to worry about anything.
Ryan's in a new offense this year.
They said they're not going to change much.
I know what they say.
Would you rather worry about that, or would you rather worry about the health?
I'd rather just take Jameis and go for it.
Would you do that? Would you take Jameis Winston over Andrew Luck?
Today?
Yes, right now, because we're here. We have a draft.
Where do you have Jameis ranked?
I got Jameis 5.
What do you have?
You're getting like Scotty and Russell Wilson. who are the four you have ahead of him? Rodgers, Brady.
Yeah. Rodgers, Brady's Breeze Luck?
Yeah.
Where's Ryan? 6?
Huh?
Where's Matt Ryan?
Matt Ryan is 6.
Matt Ryan is 6. Okay.
I don't know.
I want to see you pull that trigger. I don't think you'll do it.
I mean, to take... I don't know. I don't know.
Big matzo ball.
It is. Yeah. That's exactly what that is. All right. So then, after those four quarterbacks that I had listed, Matt Ryan not included, then I have the running backs. Because then I think Johnson, Elliott, Bell, I feel good about those guys. Again, that's seven. So they get the eighth pick. And I don't know if I'm supposed to take Antonio Brown or take Matt Ryan or take Jameis Winston. I'm not going to do that.
What about Melvin Gordon? Is he somebody, J.J.?
I don't think I would do...
Shady.
How am I going to take those guys, not Antonio Brown? Like, that's crazy!
Yeah, I couldn't do it either. It's like, I'm at 10, and, you know, if those sort of decisions, like, fall to me, like, say Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham is there, I just got to take it, and then I'll come back around on the swing.
Yeah.
I'll just take the best quarterback available.
And I would much rather be on the turn
in this wait,
thing.
I'll wait on a running back. I will wait on a running back, no quarterback,
too.
Receiver.
Like, Scotty, I know you don't like him, but like, Isaiah Crowell's got to be good in this thing. Right? He has to be.
If you believe in him as much as Corey does, yes.
I don't believe in him as much as Corey does. But I still think he's good in a format like this.
Yeah.
He's going to move the chains. Exactly.
Gonna be, you know,
if he's still there in the fourth round, I got to consider it.
Well, fourth round in a real draft, he's going to be there.
Yeah.
He might not be
not
there.
Not recently.
What I'm trying to say.
No.
In a draft like this, he may be there because of all the quarterbacks going.
Shout out to, speaking of, not just off topic a little bit, but today is Antonio Brown's 29th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, AB.
We're the same age. You think he's done a little bit more than me?
Yeah, a little bit more.
You're 29.
I am.
I'm curious to see where Gronkowski goes. I mean, 5 out of 7 years, he's played double-digit games. If he plays double-digit games, he scores double-digit touchdowns. So, but I'm not taking him. So
if
I
you
see
look
where he
on
goes.
The Stats Fishbowl page, I was on it yesterday, right? You can go to some website, put up some like projections of how the points would break down in this format, in this scoring system right here. All of the top scorers are... Let me go to it right here. All the projected stats for this thing right here. And it more or less shows you what the projections are according to this scoring system right here. The top for all players in this format, projected points, I mean all of them are quarterbacks.
Everyone's a quarterback.
Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan.
Can you send me this
so
I can win the league, please?
It's right there on the page, Greg. If you just go up, you go up on the page and you go to reports.
Yeah.
Player, project the stats.
Oh.
You'll see that right there. And okay. Then you can drop it down by position
I'm
and stuff.
I'm with you. I like that.
You like that?
I like that a lot. That's gonna
and
help me.
The top, let me see. I'm putting up the wide receivers now. Well now. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, how come it's not loaded?
You know what's kind of fun though. It's we always tell listeners, you know, and users, don't speculate. It'll be what's going to happen ahead of you.
I don't tell users that.
I do. Well, I say don't speculate because no. When they say to me, it's going to go this way.
Yeah.
The first 9 picks ahead of me, I say you can never ever predict that accurately. Just have
that's
your.
That's not true. I don't agree with you.
You can. How often are you actually going to be able to predict the 9 picks ahead of you?
Pretty often, actually.
I don't think so. Well, I would disagree.
Well, yeah, I can explain.
You never know how things are going
to
go ahead of you.
I can explain this to you. We've had this discussion before, and I'm glad we can bring it back to the forefront again. Because I'm in a league with the same 12 dudes every year.
Exactly. Right.
And you're in a league that you've been doing for 15 years, and it's
right.
The same thing. You're the same group of friends, right? And I understand, like, we talk about, like, certain leagues, a quarterback's going to go early and a quarterback's not. Like, I know my league, Aaron Rodgers is not going in the first round. Like, we've all advanced past that. Forget Scott's Fishbowl. We're talking about a real standard 12-team league. I know Aaron Rodgers is not going in the first round. I could tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, that the first 5 picks in my draft will be the top 3 running backs, Odell Beckham Jr. and Antonio Brown. That's 5. I guarantee you those will be the first 5 picks in my draft. And I know you can say, you don't know that for sure. I do. I know my league.
So you've
I know my
correctly
guys.
Predicted the first round in every year of your draft, you're saying.
I can say without question, and not necessarily in order. Let's say I have the
eighth pick. I'm not saying in order.
Right.
You can predict the general flow, but you can never, if you're sitting at 10 and 11, there may be an exception to the rule, but more often than not, you can't predict what's going to happen ahead of you.
I can't guarantee anything with 100% certainty, but I can plan pretty damn accurately.
You can
accurately.
Say I know what the general flow
no.
might be, which is what you're saying. You can't sit here and tell me that I'm going to be, if I'm sitting 11, I'm going to be able to accurately predict who's going to be available to be a number 11.
Yeah, you should have that. I mean, you should have a basic thing like
you should have a flow, but I'm saying you can never predict for sure who's going to drop to you because owners can never they'll lie to you before the draft. I'm going to tell you this. Look, you're right. You're right on one thing. I can see you're right on one thing. It's like nothing's ever absolute in fantasy. You could be right on it, but I would say more often than not, you don't know for sure what's going to happen every pick ahead of you. So if you're a 10, just have your top 10, you know, and to pick your best player when it's your turn. My point that I was getting to about the fishbowl is what I thought might be a fun exercise is if we went around the table with the first round of the fishbowl and say for 12 picks, we all get three, who would we pick at every spot?
But to me, that's useless. I don't care. I don't care.
I'm just saying for fun.
To me, I care who I have 8th pick. You have what pick? 5th? You have
10th.
You have 10th, correct?
Right.
You have what? 4.
You're in a good spot.
Those are the only 4 things I care about. I could care less who goes 1st overall. I care who goes 12th overall. I care who goes 8th, who goes 5th, who goes 10th, and who goes 4th.
All right, put it like this.
That's all it means
draft,
to me.
You know what? Now that you think about it, the drafts are going to be quarterback heavy because those people at the, with the top 3 picks,
you have to grab one.
You have to take
one.
I'm going to have to take you know what?
Now, let me ask you a question.
Hey, Jameis Winston.
I think I'm going to take Jameis Winston.
How do you have your top 3 ranked? Is it Rodgers, Breeze, Brady? Rodgers, Brady, Breeze?
Rodgers, Brady, Breeze.
Sam.
Then Luck. The wild card is Luck.
I think I have Luck 4.
I have Luck 4 too, but is he 4 today?
He's going to be 4 on my board today.
Okay.
Yes. Answer is yes. Today, in my queue, it's right in front of me. Luck will be 4.
Yeah, he'll be 4.
Yes, sir.
And Ryan will be 5.
Well,
and then it'll be a tough decision for me.
Well, that's me. Are you just talking quarterbacks? Or are you talking
just
overall?
Just talking quarterbacks.
Okay,
I'm almost certain.
I agree with that. I agree with that. Yeah. I'll have Ryan 5.
If
James
Wilson is there,
wait a minute. Russell Wilson's your number 2 ranked quarterback.
No, he's not.
He was. He changed.
He changed all the way down to 6 now?
No.
No, what I'm saying is, you know, I had to tweak the projections because that's not how I wanted it to come out.
Scotty was falling in love.
I looked at him last night. I looked at the projections last night. He was 3rd. But
no, he's in my ranks, he's gonna be 6. My top five is Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, Luck, and then Ryan.
And then you have Wilson 6.
And I might go Wilson 6.
You dropped him pretty.
Wilson's going to beat it for you.
I never had him 2nd in the first place. I'm just saying the
projections. You had projections 2nd.
No, the projections did not jibe with the ranks correctly.
You told us ranked you had him 3rd.
I do not.
You did.
Did not and will not have Russell Wilson in my top 5. The projections, some of the numbers got a little skewed and I had to fix it.
I'm telling you, told us that projections you were 2, ranked you had him 3.
Was like 40
ranked I have him 6.
Projections 2, rankings have changed, which is fine.
700 yards,
I'm totally fine.
That was a mistake in my numerical projection. He was never number 2 or number 3.
Don't say he was never, because on the air he said he was.
He's going to be on the board for you at 10.
If Russell Wilson's number 10 and 5 quarterbacks have went, I might wait till the 2nd pick for the quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah, but
okay. Why are you fighting on your boy?
Yeah, if he's there.
I don't care what team he plays for. If it's not the right pick for me, it's not the right pick for me.
Okay, and I get that. But okay, so
if you could have him at 10, you're going to wait those picks. I'd probably grab that quarterback there.
Let me ask you this. Russell Wilson, who you have 6, I might have 6
as well. If I have 5 quarterbacks off the board by the time we get to 10, there's going to be some really good position players
for me.
That's
exactly what I was going to ask
you. That's why I might wait for the quarterback.
That's exactly what I was going to ask you, because you're going to have the top 3 wide receivers, right? You have a chance of having some of those top 3 running backs.
I would rather have one of those and then come back and get like a 6-10 quarterback.
Would you take Julio Jones?
Be like drafting Robbie Ray.
Would you take Julio Jones in this league over Russell Wilson?
That's a good question.
Probably. Going to drive me crazy, Julio Jones.
Really interesting.
Had him last year in the fishbowl.
The scoring is really interesting. It takes a madman to try to figure this one out. We'll try to continue to do so when we return. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
We'll be right back.
We're back here. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mazika Engel, Parson Sussman here with you. Trying to break down the fishbowl. And Corey. Corey says, quote, I'm going to go for it.
I'm going to go for it. Now, I'm not going to say what that means. I'm going to go for it.
I think we all understand what that means.
But I'm
gonna, I don't I think you have to hide it. I think your player's still going to be there at five. I don't think we have to hide that.
That's crazy. I think I'm going to go for it. I think I'm going to do it.
That's crazy. You're going to take Jameis Winston over, like, David Johnson. That's crazy.
I can't. And this, can you risk going, coming all the way back around to wait for to get your quarterback in this thing?
I think.
Can you risk that?
I think you can. I think it depends who's on the board, number one. If there's a guy, if David Johnson's on the board, right, which is possible, okay, he's the number one overall pick in fantasy. Can you risk, is the question, having your first quarterback be Dak Prescott?
See, I don't think Dak makes it back to me.
Really?
I don't think so.
That's a lot of quarterbacks, dude. One, two, three,
I'm telling
four,
you,
five,
you're looking
six,
more.
Seven,
if I come back,
eight.
If I don't get a quarterback in the first and I come back, I could be looking at Carson Wentz, Andy Dalton,
feel Eli Manning.
I almost said something crazy. I almost cussed Eli Manning.
Well, I'm glad you didn't. I appreciate that. I don't know. I think it's really, really hard to leave one of these guys on the board. As you said, I think Scott's in a really good spot. Being at 10 overall, having the ability to, if one of these top guys fall, draft one of them, and then get your quarterback four picks later. Like, that is really convenient.
That's a good advantage that you and Scott have, because
I'm more in the middle. I mean, Scott has it.
Yeah, you guys have that advantage on that, because you get a chance to kind of see how the board is shaking out through those first rounds. And then if you got like an AB sitting there, you can be like, oh, I'll take AB here, and I'll come back and snatch Tyrod Taylor as my QB1. See, you can do that. And I kind of got to, you know,
figure it out. We have to make a move early.
Yeah, we got to
see the board.
We kind of got to set the tone. And I'm going to set it.
Do you,
Jack?
I have like a Scott Fishbowl from last year.
Okay.
And
scoring was different.
How so? How'd they change it?
The first down thing. What was it? Last year, running backs got a point per carry.
Yeah, they do this year too.
No, you don't.
Yeah, they do.
Not this year.
Look at the rules.
Running backs don't get a point for carry this year.
They do not. That is a fact.
No, it's a point for a first
down. This is basically This is a standard league, right?
Yep.
This is a standard. With the quarterbacks,
but still, it was two quarterback last year. Though,
it is two quarterbacks. Yes, it is
because
two quarterbacks.
I'm looking at last year, and only two quarterbacks went in the first round.
Yeah, but Scott, last year
you got a point per carry.
You got a point per carry. That's a game changer. That's why I took Zeke 1-1 last year.
Yeah, that's why Cam Newton went in the first round of this.
I want to remove all these guys from the list. I don't want pre-draft players. I want it when it's my turn. I want to get a notification and I want to draft.
I tell you, I'm more nervous about the. I'm not really an MLF guy. I haven't played that much. So this whole format is so different.
Honestly, I just filled out my pre-draft and I just took everybody off the list. I just think everybody off the list. I don't want someone to draft for me.
Yeah, I'm worried
about
that
too. I want the opportunity to see the board and make my selection.
Trust me, I'm not going to take a long time.
No, you're not. You will sit in front of your phone or your computer all day to make sure.
Who's in your league?
I got a tough league, man. I really do. My league, here we go. Let me get it out for you. My league is, as I said, excuse me, Scott? My league's very tough. We got... Oh, man. I hit the wrong button again. Andy Behrens is the first pick in my league.
Oh, he's good. he's Andy Behrens.
Yeah.
Who else is in your league?
We got Michael Guzlak.
I don't know who that is either.
Andrew Leitner.
Don't know.
Josh Smith.
Oh, from 4 for 4.
Yes, sir. He's two quarterbacks.
He's an accuracy.
Two QBs.
Okay, he got a new spot. He's an accuracy. He's one of the dudes like Jake that be like real high up there in accuracy.
Yeah. Aaron Swinderman, John DeBarry, Christopher Allen, FF Couch Coach, myself, Liz Storer, Darren Armani, Joshua Trotter.
Oh, Darren Armani's my son. Set up Pros versus Joes.
And Justin Bonema. That's my crew. What about you?
I'm really the celebrity of the league.
You're the celebrity. you're expected to win. Oh, Michael Kuznick's a fan. That's what it says. Yeah, fan.
I'm the celebrity of my league. I mean, well, obviously, I'd probably be the celebrity of any league except the one that Matthew Barry's in.
What about the one Andy Behrens in? Is that not good enough?
Well, yeah, Andy Behrens is a G. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know these people. Oh, isn't that Sun is in this league?
Florio?
No, not Florio.
Stanfield?
Not Stanfield.
You're pointing to them.
because the screen changed. Jeff Bogus?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, from the Footballers? That's cool.
He has the number one pick.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And then my man Joey Brown is the fan in the league.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So it's good to see that. And then the rest of these dudes are like, you know, ham and eggs.
Just fresh meat for you.
Yeah, ham and eggs. You know what I'm saying? So this thing right here is going to go down.
Scotty, who's in your league, man?
I got Sigmund Blum, a football guy.
Oh, boy, he's tough.
Yeah. Sigmund Blum's a good player.
Also, let's see. We got Rick Flieger of Asylum Football.
Rick.
Rick.
Rick and him and his man Briggs, they do a good job.
Matt Wispy of RotoViz, and I'm not familiar with any of the other names. Leo Howell of ESPN, Katie Flower of UTH Dynasty.
Under the helmet.
Josh Bennett of ADP Mercenaries.
Man, I don't know these guys.
Yeah.
ADP Mercenaries.
I don't know that one.
I got the fat Adam Schefter in my league, so.
You got fat Adam Schefter?
JT Maynard. At fat Adam Schefter.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
I like that name.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Who else you got? Do you got anybody else?
At Joey Pigskins. At Rotoban. Let's see. Josh Kelly.
And then we got Howard Bender in there, league?
No. I wish I did, though.
Yeah, that'd have been cool. They just put Howard Bender in the league with Jake.
Anyway, that all takes place 11 a.m. Eastern Time live. We'll have updates, of course, for you tomorrow morning. We'll have a ton of updates. How much, Scotty, how many rounds should we expect to be done by tomorrow morning, would you say?
By tomorrow morning?
Yeah.
I honestly can't remember how long it took last year.
Okay.
Some of these leagues be very slow. Some of them move very fast. I remember last year, I think Ronis and them was like finished, and I was like in the eighth round.
That's awful.
Yeah, no, that sucks.
How long does it normally take?
It's probably take about 2 weeks.
I believe it's done by August.
Done by August. All right. I mean, and that's fair. People are going to kill me when I'm away, and I'm just not drafting.
Hey, you better set your cue, Greg. You don't have to.
I'll set my cue, or just let you pick for me, Corey. I don't care.
We compete in this together. No, but I would, you know, I mean,
we
I wouldn't.
Compete,
I wouldn't
we compete without really competing.
Yeah, I wouldn't have you slowing up the draft.
I know you wouldn't.
I'm looking at these dudes. Oh, Joe Galina is in, Derek Van Riper, Joe Galina.
Is it your career? Is it your...
Nah, this is a different league. I'm just looking through some of the different leagues, kind of see, you know what I'm saying?
See what other competition.
See where the heat is at, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Steve Gallo is in the league right here. I wonder what this is. I think I'm in Heroes. Yeah. What are you in?
I'm villains.
Oh, well, there you go.
Gaston. According to YouTube, I'm not the villain.
They got on you, Craig?
No.
Yeah.
I'm all right for now.
Yeah, they
They was coming
after me over the weekend too.
Really?
And they didn't even post.
We didn't post a new video. Yeah. What did they say about you over the weekend?
Oh, they was talking about how, you know, more or less they was like, you know what I'm saying, they like this dude was like, yo, my brother playing a league with a $1,200 entry fee, you know what I'm saying, I'll send you the invite. But the scoring was crazy. I'm like, come on, dudes, leave me alone. I'm trying to relax, you know what I'm saying? I'm coming for you, YouTube people.
He's coming. He's coming for you. That's for sure. It's Fantasy Executive. It's what he does. We got about just a couple minutes left here, and we're staring at the players. And the reason I took my guys off the queue in Scott's Fishbowl is just, as I said, I want to be able to draft. I want to be able to decide myself if I'm really going to take Matt Ross. I mean, basically, I have seven guys. And if the eighth guy, if all seven of my guys go, and I have the eighth pick, am I really going to take Matt Ryan over Antonio Brown? Is that something I'm actually going to do? I don't know.
We all talk about how deep quarterback is.
It goes real quick.
You know, but I think if you have, like, as long as you have, like, a top 12 guy in that second round, I'm comfortable.
You're in a good spot, Scotty. You're in a real nice spot in this draft. I feel much more comfortable where you are.
I tell you, though, if I'm up top, though, you know, with the first downs, to have somebody like Ezekiel Elliott who just cashes first down after first down, rare workhorse back. You know, that's somebody I covet in the league like this.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. It's hard, man. This is not an easy league, and that's why it's so popular, I think. It's why you have a nice mix of fans and experts.
And then the time of year it is, I think people are kind of clamoring the draft, you know what I'm saying? So I think that makes it such a big deal. And then, you know, everybody be watching on Twitter and stuff like that. So, nah, it's cool. Scott's Fishbowl kicks off today. Scotty Fish will be on the Frenzy at, 9:40, and then we'll be talking some Bills football on the Frenzy today, too.
Will you be asking Scott Fish who you should take?
Huh?
Will you ask Scott Fish who...
I wonder if he's even in this thing.
I don't know.
He might not even be in this joint. Why would you commission a league with 700 and something damn people? You know what I'm saying? For fantasy kids, it's for a good cause.
He's doing it for a good cause.
True. Absolutely. And that's why he's doing it, right?
I play like my leagues for a good cause, too.
Braces 2017.
Yeah.
That's what Corey's entire league is for, Braces 2017. Every league he has all year long. You also told us a moment ago, I think it was during the break, you're currently 13 points up on Adam Ronis.
13 points over Adam Ronis and Tout Wars right there. Oh, this is going to be...
There will be blood.
I can't wait for October to get here.
Just because it was pointed out yesterday on the Roto Experts Week of Decision, Cardano said he was ahead of me. He's no longer ahead of me. In fact, he had 107 points. He was in second place in May. He has now fallen almost 30 points in the standings and is 78 and is now behind me.
78 and a half. Scotty's got 80 and a half.
Yep.
Both of them looking up at me.
Nice.
Looking up at Nando, actually.
Excuse me?
Oh, you're hating that.
All right, you're right. You're right, Scotty. I'm looking up at Dom from Queens, not you. When we come back, we'll talk a little baseball.
Nando does all the work.
On the other side, who traded with you? We're back right after this.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
From the football conversation a bit, get a little baseball. It's the All-Star break. We have the Home Run Derby tonight. Corey, will you be watching?
Yeah, I have it on.
Futures game yesterday, too.
Oh, that was enthralling.
It's so stupid that they have the Futures game on Sunday afternoon. Yeah. It really is.
I could not tell you something I would watch less on a Sunday afternoon than the MLB Futures game.
Really? Yeah. A lot of people get into the Futures game.
I got into the pool game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
It's sunny. Yeah. It's 90 degrees out. You know, I'm just sitting inside watching a Futures game?
No, I don't. You think I did?
I watched the Yankees and the Mets. I didn't watch the Futures game.
But that's the other thing. There's real baseball on. Yeah. Why am I watching the Futures game when I have real implications? My team's playing. Your team's playing. My fantasy team's playing.
I read up on it after. I was interested to see you perform well.
It's like me. Well, I don't watch the All-Star game either.
Because I'm in a dynasty league, you know. Too.
Oh, okay. So I respect that, right? I get that.
I have Derek Fisher, and he had a double and a run scored yesterday.
So I get that, Scotty. Yeah. But to me, there's real baseball.
Yeah, I'd watch that first. Yeah,
it's just crazy. Yeah. It's crazy to me. Anyway, we got the Home Run Derby tonight. Will you be watching that, Scott?
Yeah.
Is that appointment television?
Anytime Giancarlo Stanton's in the Home Run Derby, I'll watch.
Is it appointment television for you, Matt?
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to be honest with you.
Twin Peak. Replays.
Yeah, no, I've actually caught up on Twin Peaks. I wasted like 3 days of my life last week, but you know, I'm gonna watch it. I'm not like, oh my. After a while, to me, it just gets a little boring.
All right. Well, here's what we're gonna do the next 5 minutes. There are eight players. Is that correct in this Home Run Derby? I believe.
Yeah.
There are eight players. Yeah. There are four of us here. We're gonna have a draft right now. And I don't exactly know what would you like to bet on this, all of us here?
I want Cody Bellinger.
That's not how it works. We're gonna have a bet. We're gonna have a draft. What would you like to bet on it, fantasy executive?
I don't know. What do you want to put on it?
Let's bet lunch.
You want to bet lunch?
Dollar pizza.
Tomorrow.
Not dollar pizza.
Lunch tomorrow.
No, not dollar pizza. I ain't playing for that.
Jesus. All right. I mean, here. No. We'll do
better
this.
Pizza.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm not going to Scott's freaking spot in Queens.
Yeah, I know you're too much of a snob to leave Manhattan until you have to.
I'm sorry. I have work during
That's
the day.
That's a 15-minute train ride.
I have work.
He was on the train the other day, Scott.
You leave at 9 a.m. I can't go get pizza in Queens.
Okay, how about burgers from Five Guys down the block?
Oh, now you're talking. Is that cool?
You might as well eat at Rockin' Riley's, though. $16 a person.
I mean, really. Once in a life, you got to go in your pocket.
Hey, I ain't a rich Wall Street guy like you.
Come on.
It's a nice tie.
All right, here you go. Hold on. You want McDonald's? Is that fine?
No. I can't expect you to ride the subway. That's beneath
me. I have to work during the day. I don't know what to tell you.
I work during the day, too.
I'll do McNuggets.
It doesn't matter.
But I can't go to Queens, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, I'm saying we could do it on a weekend or something like that, you know?
Weekend? I'm trying to.
Well, one day, like, after all our work is done. You know?
How about you come to Staten Island one weekend and we go have pizza at Lee's Tavern?
Yeah, set me something up out there.
We can meet Chris
Carroll. We're going to do some sort of food.
We'll figure something
we'll
out.
Figure, we'll figure that out.
All right.
Who got the first pick?
Don Burns. Can you choose who has the first pick, please? Pick somebody.
We'll go Matt.
All right, Matt, you have first pick.
Bellinger.
We're just going to go around this way like we would for his Mike Lyon, the same way. Cody Bellinger is the first pick overall in Matt Modica. Scotty.
Stanton.
Giancarlo Stanton.
Well, I'm going to take the big homie then. Aaron Judge.
Damn, I was really hoping to get him. That sucks. Okay, I will then take Gary Sanchez, because why not?
You want to turn, right?
Damn right I am. I'll take Gary Sanchez, and I will take Miguel Sano.
Oh, I was going to take Miguel Sano.
I'll trade you Sano for Judge.
Huh?
I'll trade you Sano for Judge.
No.
Okay.
Who else is in this?
Who's left?
Boer.
We got Justin Boer, Mike Moustakas. Charlie
Blackman. Get my man from
Give
Tout
me Wars.
You don't get to be your last pick.
Yeah, man. Get my man from Tout Wars, Charlie Blackman.
Who's the left? Boer and who else?
Moustakas.
That's the boy
you got. Moustakas.
I'm taking my boy Boer.
We'll talk more baseball when we come back. Go on TV on the Fantasy Sports Network.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday, July 10th. 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Engel, and Wall Street, Matt Modica. My name is Greg Sussman. Happy Monday to you all. Happy All-Star Break as well. It has arrived. It is the heart of the summer. We're past July 4th. We're up to the All-Star Break, and we are headed toward football season. Scotty, home run derby tonight, All-Star game tomorrow. Is that appointment television to you?
I don't know if I would call it appointment television, but I'm definitely tuning in and checking a lot of it out.
All right, there you go. Matt, I know you're a big baseball guy. Will you, sir, be watching these things?
Yeah, I'll watch. It's not like, you know, I'm not like thrilled. When I was younger, I loved the All-Star game. Maybe catch up on some movies these next 4 days.
There you go. A bunch of movies. I saw Baby Driver on Friday.
How was it?
I liked it. I was entertained by it. Wasn't as great as everyone was saying, I thought. I mean, I'm not like the biggest Edgar Wright guy, but I liked it. Like, I'm happy I saw it. Like, it's a lot of music involved, so you want to see it in the theater and like, kind of get that like vibe from it. But was it the best movie I've ever saw? No.
I want to see Atomic Blonde.
What's Atomic Blonde?
I saw the trailer for that.
Charlize Theron?
Well, that's coming out in a couple of weeks. But.
I hear everybody talking about how much they like Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, and I probably won't in the theaters.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just like, if Tobey Maguire's not Spider-Man, I'm not going to see it.
Really?
Well, yeah. I don't care about the McGuire.
Nothing can match those first two. So you never see a Batman movie? I'm not a Batman guy. You know, it's like I saw the first one, Michael Keaton.
So you weren't a like Dark Knight trilogy guy? Because those are effing awesome.
Yeah, I wasn't that guy. It's like, wow. I definitely want to see the next Thor, though. That's for sure.
I'm out. Not Batman. Christopher Nolan and Christian Bale.
Interesting. Corey, man, will you be watching the All-Star game and stuff?
It'll be on. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm going to be like, you know, all into it and whatever, but it'll be on. You know what I'm saying? I'll have it on. The Home Run Derby is always a good time. I like to check that out every now and then. So, yeah, it'll be on in the background. I don't know. I'll probably be doing something else. You know what I'm saying? But it'll definitely be a... I'll know what happened tomorrow morning.
We got a big bet for the Home Run Derby because...
I got two people.
You don't want to... Now, how does this work? If you win, you get... The winner gets a free...
I think the top two get free lunch and the bottom two will check out.
Oh, like a 50-50.
Yeah. I like that. All right, that's cool.
That makes sense, right? And then it's by total home runs, right?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Now... No, it can't be
stolen bases, guy.
Well,
I don't even know how to home run.
For you, you'd probably have to study up on
it. They change the rules every day, so I don't really know.
Yeah.
Modiga's got Cody Bellinger and Charlie Blackman.
No, I got Mike Moustakas.
Cody Bellinger and the Moose, Mike Moustakas. Scotty's got the Marlins, Justin Bour and Giancarlo Stanton. My man Corey's got the homie Aaron Judge and Charlie Blackman. And I'm rooting for Gary Sanchez and Miguel Sano. That's the Home Run Derby. When we come back, we'll talk more about home runs here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
The Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package is available right now. RotoExperts.com. Exclusive Edge. Use free radio when you check out. We'll give you a couple bucks off.
I'm not as good as the air guitar, Scott.
And if you buy two packages, Scott will give you a free concert.
You know what? I want to hear...
Free radio when you check out.
In the air tonight. I want to see Scott's drums go.
Oh, that's good.
Phil Collins.
In the air tonight, please, when we return. Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for that, Scott?
Yeah. I'm ready for anything.
But we have to get to the drop. You have to get to the drop where you use the drums.
Yeah,
that's the important part. Okay. So there you go, Don Burns. You have a mission.
I wonder if he's going to do this. You going to twirl it too?
Yeah.
All right, good. I'm looking forward to this.
So there you go. All right, so the whole
It's a great song for that. I love it loud.
Whoa.
Yeah, find that one.
I'm not interested in that one. I'm more in the air.
I know. You got taste of a 14-year-old girl.
I wanted Phil Collins.
Yeah, we wanted.
I asked for Phil Collins.
The people have spoken, Scott.
Yes. All right. Now, today is the Home Run Derby. I wanted to also take a look back at the first half in baseball and see how much we know and how much we can talk about. So, with that being said, I would like to know who the top 10 home run hitters were in the first half of the year. There's actually 12 guys that are tied with enough home runs is what I'm trying to get at. So that number is 23 home runs. Top 10 hitters all have 23 home runs. There are 12 hitters on the list. Can you name them? Matt Wadiga, we'll start with you.
Joey Votto.
Joey Votto's number 3.
Nice one.
26. Scott.
George Springer.
Number 2 with 27. Corey.
Aaron Judge.
Leading the league at 30. 30 home runs in the first half. What a guy. All right. You've gotten the top 3. Wadiga next.
Cody Bellinger.
Cody Bellinger, number 5 at 25.
Giancarlo Stanton's got 26.
Giancarlo Stanton's got 26. Corey.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Paul Goldschmidt does not have 23 home runs. He has 20.
I'm out.
You're out.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Miguel Sano?
Miguel Sano has 21.
Oh, yeah. 21.
Just missed it.
Justin Smoke,
23. You are correct, Scott.
He's having a good season.
Corey. Marcelo Zuna?
Would you have to guess again? 23, yes.
Oh, I get a chance to come back in. Why not? Give him where's...
You're missing five guys right now. Five guys.
I can't think of homeboy's name. He played for. Oh, you said him already. Can I look?
No.
Charlie Blackman.
No, Charlie Blackman is incorrect. He has 20 home runs, unfortunately.
Sorry.
Matt.
I said Marcelo Zuna.
That's correct. 23.
Jay Bruce.
Jay Bruce is correct at 23 home runs.
Bryce Harper?
Bryce Harper is incorrect. He's got 20. You got a lot of guys that have 20, Corey.
How about the Moose?
Mike Moustakas is correct.
Oh, that's a good
25
one,
25 home runs for Mike Moustakas, who on the year is batting 270. He's got 25, 45, 54. Big year for Mike Moustakas. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, no, he's killing it.
Crushing it.
All Joey Votto, since last All-Star break, with this All-Star break, is batting 359 with 41 home runs.
Yeah.
That's crazy. He's on a heater.
That's 160 games.
Scott Engel.
That was my next guest, Joey Votto.
Joey Votto was the first guest overall.
I'm about to say, that was the first the first MF that I said.
let's see.
He was the one seed.
Charlie Blackman.
Scott, are you
doing this on purpose
at all?
I know it's not Korea because he is 20th yesterday. Oh, boy. Now it's getting tough.
Missing three. You guys are missing three players here. Two with 24, one with 23. Trying to name the home run hitters in the first half. See if our experts can do it. Scott, I do need an answer, please.
Justin Upton.
It is not Justin Upton. I don't know how many he has.
I think he's got 19.
Corey
Nolan Arenado.
Nolan Arenado is not correct. Either. I'm sorry. He's got under 20.
Oh, he's not even hitting that. Okay.
No. Okay.
What about Joey Gallo?
Joey Gallo is also incorrect. He has 21. We are very much closer. Back to the king.
He's going to be wrong, but I'm going to say Justin Moore.
Justin Moore is also short. Is incorrect. He has 20 home runs.
Any Mets on there?
He named Jay Bruce already.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. My turn?
Yeah.
Jeff the Skeleton. No?
Nope.
Damn it. He was having a good season, too.
Would you like to guess it again?
No.
Matt? We don't get this time, I'll just tell you. We can just talk about it.
Yeah, we can just talk.
All right, fine. You don't have any more guesses? Scott, I know you like to always guess. If you don't have any more, you can say so.
Anthony Rizzo's not going to be there.
He's not. No, he's 20, though.
This is riveting.
We'll just tell you. Yeah. We'll just tell you. Number seven, I'm surprised you guys didn't get there. You just talked about it. Logan Morrison.
That's right. Logan.
Wow. Say his name.
I thought he was just short. I thought he had like 21.
He's 20.
You remember last month when he had 14?
Yeah.
Logan Morrison. He does. With 24. Chris Davis had 24 as well.
That's good. Yeah.
Chris Davis, pretty gettable. And then number 12, maybe you forgot about him because it's been a while since we talked about him consistently.
Oh, boy.
Eric Thames. Eric Thames had 23 home runs.
I think he had them all against Cincinnati.
He might have had them all against Cincinnati in the first month of the season.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And then I put a hex on him.
You did, and it really worked.
You
ruined this guy's life.
And I'm got a 13-point lead on Ronis. So far, so good. Let me not speak too fast, though.
All right, so 12 guys have 23 more home runs. You guys did pretty well. I believe you got 9 out of those 12 gentlemen that had 20, that had all of this power. Matt, which of these guys have been the biggest surprise for you of the 12?
I mean, the fact that, Cody Bellinger is up there right now, I thought he'd be up at some point this year. I didn't think it'd be April 25th, to be honest with you. I thought maybe more towards, May 25th. And what he's been able to do. So for me, it's going to be Bellinger.
Cody Bellinger, the biggest surprise for you, the NL Rookie of the Year, heavy favorite, much like Aaron Judge. He's a heavy American League favorite, of course, for the Rookie of the Year award. Both of these guys in the top five for home runs and just rookies. Just a crazy season for the young power hitters in both leagues. Scotty, what's been the biggest surprise for you out of these 12 guys?
Got to be Justin Smoke. This is a guy when I did my insider report. The preseason, they were saying Smoke might even make the team.
So you're saying we should no longer listen to your insider reports? Is that what you're trying to tell
I'm saying
us?
They're not always right. This guy was like, they were talking about him not even making the team. Maybe that was a motivator. I don't know, but I don't think anybody expected to see this from Justin Smoke, 23 home runs in the first half.
So there you go. Justin Smoak having just a monster season. It's crazy because he's always had the potential. Let's
him
not forget.
Him and Bohr have been shockers.
Yeah, totally. And the Justins, right?
Yeah.
But Justin Smoak was supposed to be this uber prospect, this superstar. Yeah. And he, let's
the
not
Mariners,
forget,
yeah.
he was traded for Cliff Lee from Texas to Seattle, and it just never worked out. As a Yankee fan, I've always been furious because they, at the last second, turned down Jesus Montero for Cliff Lee in order to accept Justin Smoak. And Smoak never panned out in Seattle, went to Toronto, and didn't, you know, have overall monster massive success. And here he is in 2017, just earning the opportunity to start the All-Star game. He's been fantastic for Toronto.
Yeah, it was great that the fans got that right with Smoak getting the start. And what's really impressive is the batting average. I mean, we've always known he's had power and
sure.
stuff like that, but that batting average and how he's come full circle. And, you know, it's been a guy that, as we just talked, it's so underwhelming. And, you know, people were ready to pass. I mean, I don't know how Toronto kind of just kept keeping him around as like a...
I cut him like right the week before the season in my AL only league.
You know what? I'll tell you this.
AL only league.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But people, as you said, your insider said he's going to get cut from the Blue Jays, much less be in this All-Star game. And the fans did a nice job. Like a guy like Jose Ramirez starting at third base, like, that's right. They got it right. And it's very impressive when a guy like Manny Machado is not there.
Yeah, the word on him was like they're very dissatisfied with him to the point where they might release him.
Corey, out of these 12 guys that we named, the top 12 home run hitters in all of baseball, what's been the biggest surprise?
I think
surprise
the power surge from Mike Moustakas is something that people really wasn't, like, never going to expect to happen. People have been saying for years, oh, this guy's not a home run hitter, he's not a home run hitter. Stop drafting him for power. And all of a sudden, you know, I don't know if whatever happened, but he's, I guess, you know, all of a sudden it pops off. And you see that power surge from Mike Moustakas that people have kind of been predicting for years, then kind of forgot about it, and now he's killing.
Nobody said Aaron Judge, but anybody respect him at 30 by the break and break Joe DiMaggio?
I said Aaron Judge. Okay. Mike Moustakas at 28 years old, as Corey has said, like, listen, he's a guy that's like, had power, but he's a career high in home runs right now at 25, right? Like, he had 22 in 2015. Obviously, he was injured most of 2016. And it's just remarkable. This is a guy that hasn't hit for averages. Average is at 270 right now with a bat only being 254. It's nothing crazy by any means. With 25 home runs going into his free agent year, like, maybe Moustakas can make some money from someone.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. He knows what he's doing.
He'd be perfect.
Contract your players.
He'd be perfect for the Yankees.
Oh,
put him in that park.
But he would, and then he would all of a sudden become Chase Headley and not be able to get on base, and that would be,
You think that would happen to Bohr if he went to the Bronx?
You know what? I don't think so. I think Bohr would be okay.
I think he'd be killing that porch.
I think he'd be okay. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to get back into the football. We'll do more baseball tomorrow. We're going to go all over all the 5x5 categories and see if we can get the top 10 in each category all week long. Stick around. Roto Experts in the Morning continues right after this. Ezekiel Elliott. Carl Anthony Towns. Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes. Here we go, for those watching on TV. Here we go. I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
There goes the flip right there. I saw it.
Hold on.
Nice job, Scott.
Matt, is that what you were hoping for?
Yeah, no, it was very good. I enjoy the facial expressions.
Oh, it's all of the facial expressions. Yeah. Absolutely.
He really nails it.
He makes it. That's what makes it.
Like you said, I'd sponsor Scott for one of these air guitars.
Look, if you want piano, you want horns, you know, we can arrange that as well.
Horn?
I mean, maybe he'll see you like with a horn section one day when he's like, got the horns
da,
going.
Da, da, yeah.
I haven't seen the horn section, have I yet?
I've done it once, yeah. I've done the piano, too.
I've seen the piano.
Yeah.
I thought you were just trying about to slam the table. I didn't really know what was happening until you explained that it was the piano.
No, you know, it's, you can do something more reserved, you know.
Okay.
I don't have to be Jerry Lee Lewis, you know. And like,
would you be good at Great Balls of Fire? Would that be a big thing for you?
It's not one of my favorites, but I could do it.
Interesting.
If you wanted me to.
Yeah, I'm sure you could do anything.
Yeah.
All right. So, gentlemen.
How about some Guns N' Roses, Sweet Child of Mine? That might be nice.
Oh, yeah. No, that could be good. Yeah. I could
do a little slash.
I'm sorry. I'm in my own world. I'm looking at the ESPY nominations.
You are in your own world. That's
the,
yo, sure.
The best upset, Mississippi State over UConn.
That is the best upset.
Yeah,
that really is.
Maybe no of all time.
There's no question. There's no question that's the biggest upset.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I will say, I
would love to rap, too. It's like, you want me to do Ice Ice Baby or
I enjoy the air guitar and the air. I'm not into the rap.
A little Houdini funky beat.
No, thank you. We've done the rap thing already. I did want to get in.
Let's do it, Greg. Let's get it in.
I want to get into some players here, and I think what we're going to do is we have all these... I have all these fun names. I think we're going to see those for tomorrow because I want to finish off the sophomore conversation.
Okay.
We did that Friday. I want to just finish it off here on Monday. And it's less of the higher named sophomores than we talked about, of course, on a Friday, a little bit deeper in. And, you know, kind of lead into the name game that we're going to play tomorrow. I want to get into the Henrys. I want to get into Derrick Henry, and I want to get into Hunter Henry. Because both of these guys are sophomores, and I think both have breakout potential. Or maybe you think they're going to slump. That's why we're bringing them up. Let's start with Hunter Henry, who we haven't talked about nearly as much as we talked about Derrick Henry in recent days. Hunter Henry is in year two. For a rookie tight end, Henry had a fantastic year. A ton of touchdowns, really stepped up when Antonio Gates got hurt. And then the second half of the season went through some injuries. Gates came back and took a bit of a backseat. Now you're in year two where tight ends are expected to make a little bit of a jump. However, Antonio Gates is still there. Hunter Henry is being drafted currently around a top 10 tight end. Matt Modica, can Hunter Henry perform in 2017 as a top 10 tight end?
Yeah, I think he can. Even with Gates there, if Gates wasn't there, I'd really like him. I think he's shown, you know, he was a very good college player. He stepped in last season. And, you know, he's got Phillip Rivers. So a guy that has already produced in the red zone. He's a nice red zone target, especially with like a guy like Mike Williams, who I think could crowd that red zone. But he's got back injury right now, so that helps him.
Sure.
But he's probably not a guy I'm going to take in the top 10. I'm probably going to go with Ebron or Jack Doyle, who I love. And, you know, I think you got that. So for me, he's like that borderline top 10 guy.
Hunter Henry, Corey, where are you on him?
In my rankings, I probably got him about where around the spot where he's normally going. He's not really a guy I'm targeting. I just don't know what the breakdown is going to be with the snaps. A lot of moving pieces in that offense this year. I don't like to rely on touchdowns for tight ends. Touchdowns are an added bonus. I got Hunter Henry at 14, so it's probably going to be somebody that likes Hunter Henry a little bit more than I do in every draft I hop in. So I still like the fact that Gates is still there. As long as Gates is there, Phillip Rivers is always going to get Gates the football, even though Gates is like, I might just play on third down, which is crazy. But I think there's so many weapons, so many moving pieces, new offense. Hunter Henry's not a player I'd be targeting.
Scotty, it's interesting because I think what Corey said kind of hits how I feel about Hunter Henry as well. He's number 11 according to Fantasy Pros expert rankings in between Zach Ertz and Eric Ebron, who still sits at 12. Like, I like Eric Ebron a lot more than I like Hunter Henry for a lot of the reasons Corey said. Where are you and Hunter Henry this year?
More towards where Corey is, because this is the assumption that we get into fantasy football. It's like, you have the old guy and you got the 22-year-old guy, and everybody's expecting at some point that the old guy is going to get moved out and that the young guy is going to ascend. And I just don't know quite if it's going to be this year yet. As long as Antonio Gates is still on that field, he's going to be a factor. Look, Hunter Henry caught 8 touchdowns last year, but like Corey said, you got a lot of moving parts in that offense. Maybe not too many red zone moving parts, so he could still catch 7 touchdowns again, but he only had more than 4 catches twice. There was never any really big yardage games there. I feel like they're going to run a lot of 2 tight end sets inside the 25-yard line, and you're not going to see enough of them outside the 20s. I feel like there's too many more tight ends with more upside for yardage and receptions. There's no way I would take him over Eric Ebron.
Would you take him over O.J. Howard?
See, O.J. Howard's in that situation, too. Where,
no, he's not.
Where Can I finish, please?
Sorry.
Thank you. He's in that situation where you're running a two tight end set, and he's that second young guy. It's like O.J. Howard has all the talent, but, you know, reading the beat guys, you know, out of Tampa Bay, they said just because O.J. Howard was drafted where he drafted, Cameron Brate is not going away. I might take Hunter Henry over O.J. Howard.
Would you do that?
I'd probably go Hunter Henry over Howard.
I think I would also. I think I would also go Hunter Henry over O.J. Howard. I know Corey would not.
No, I'm going O.J. Howard.
I mean, I think Hunter Henry fits in that 12 spot perfectly, or 13.
Yeah, I think I would. I think I might have him 14 as well. I think I would have. I'm definitely going to have Ebron over him. I think I'm going to have Jack Doyle over him, which leads me to Hunter Henry. I think 13 I'm going to have him, which is what you were actually saying. Let me ask you this, Scott. Would you take Cameron Brate, or would you take O.J. Howard?
I would take Cameron Brate. I expect him to score more touchdowns. I think he's still going to be the first tight end option in that offense. I think O.J. Howard has a ton of talent, and he's one of Corey's pound-for-pound guy, but I don't know if there's going to be a big enough role for him in the offense in his rookie year.
Anyway, you work, Corey. I'm going to ask you. Matt?
You know what? I might go Brate here. It's another one. It's tough. I love the talent, and as Corey says, possible future Hall of Famer and all of that. You know, I don't deny any of that. But I still think, you know, it's really, I'd like to have both these guys as my number two tight end, not as my number one.
And I tend to agree with that. Now let's talk about the other Henry, another sophomore Henry, and that's Derrick Henry. And I know we got into him a little bit 2 weeks ago, I think, on the show. But as a sophomore, I was reading a little bit about Derrick Henry over the weekend. And Henry is expected to not really have much more of a role than he did last year. And that's, of course, assuming that DeMarco Murray is as good as he was last year. Corey, I always go to you first because you were the Derrick Henry guy last year. I know you're not jumping in with 2 feet again like you were last year. What should we expect from Derrick Henry?
I think you should expect a little bit more of the same. I think the numbers do take a dip up this year. Now, obviously, if something was to happen to DeMarco Murray, then you expect a lot lock, stock, and barrel, all be one. But for this season, I think you'll see, you know, a little bit the same what we saw last year. I think at best, right? So let's say Murray plays 16 games. I think the best you can do with Henry is throughout the course of the bye weeks, you might be able to flex him, but it'd be risky.
Okay, and that's assuming, of course, DeMarco Murray stays healthy.
Yes.
Scotty, DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry's teammate is also a sophomore, and he had a monster preseason last year. The biggest name. Now he's going undrafted in 2017. And that's Tajae Sharpe. Is there a reason to ever mention Tajae Sharpe on the show ever again?
Maybe if you play in the 20-team league. No, I don't. There's too many other primary weapons there, especially, you know, now that they drafted this, you know, this kid as their top target, and you know you still got Rishard Matthews, you still got Delanie Walker. To me, there's way too many other weapons to where I feel like he's going. I felt like that's that kind of situation where you might see in San Francisco this year somebody like, especially with the Jets, like there's nobody else there. Somebody else just has to catch passes. That's what happened with Sharpe early last year. It's no longer the situation.
That's a good point.
I'd rather draft Taiwan Taylor than Tajae Sharpe. Everything you hear coming out from Tennessee, look, he needs an injury and all that, but they're loving this kid Taylor, and I don't see where Sharpe fits.
Another sophomore wide receiver that I'm interested in getting your thoughts on, where it's also gotten very crowded very quickly, is in Cincinnati. That's Tyler Boyd. Like, Tyler Boyd this time last year, we thought he would ascend to number two. Marvin Jones is gone. Only Brandon LaFell ahead of him. And now John Ross is there. And John Ross has all injury problems. Brandon LaFell is another year older. But no one has even mentioned Tyler Boyd this offseason. Matt, should we be?
He's a guy that I do want to monitor in these preseason games, see how he's set up, where, you know. After A.J. Green, I pretty much, A.J. Green, Mixon, and if it was like double-digit rounds, Eifert. I'm not taking him before that. Otherwise, I'm really staying away from the rest. I don't see where Boyd, I mean, maybe even if he makes improvements, I just think everybody in that offense has a role.
Yeah, with Boyd, I think he eventually fits in as a possession, move the chains kind of guy, with a little bit of yardage after the catch sprinkle there. But I feel like there's other primary targets now that he's especially drafted the rookie who's supposed to be a big play guy. And, you know, if Eifert's healthy, I can't see him being more than like the fifth option.
Tyler Boyd, can I get any interest from you, Corey?
No, I'm not fooling with Tyler Boyd. Brandon LaFell was too good of a player.
Surprisingly, I think. Yeah. I don't think people underestimate how good he is at this point. Okay. So that's
too good.
So that's Tyler Boyd. What about you? You spoke about Scotty a second ago. And Corey. I haven't said it yet.
Oh, my bad.
You spoke about a player a second ago that when a team is so bad, everyone's going to come around and be like, somebody has to catch the ball. For the second half of the year for the Jets last year, it was Robbie Anderson. Nobody's talking about Robbie Anderson anymore. Should we be? Robbie Anderson and seven more sophomores come your way next on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
It's the summer, but you can already feel the howl of the winter wind. You don't want to go to the beach. You want to break out that heavy coat and head for the stadium parking lot because nothing makes you feel warmer than football season. But you don't have to wait for the calendar to flip a few times at rotoexperts.com, where fantasy football season has already started. The award-winning team at Roto Experts has you ready for the new campaign with the return of the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for 2017. Packed with tons of in-depth insights from the industry's top experts, we get you fully prepared for a championship campaign with a deluxe draft package that includes projections, strategy articles, sleepers, busts, a cheat sheet generator, and so much more. And you're guaranteed additional access throughout the regular season. So put your gloves on now, even while it's hot outside, and get into mid-season form. Go to rotoexperts.com and register for the 2017 Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Enter code FREERADIO at checkout for a very special discount.
Isn't this like a violin? What are you?
He's a composer.
Oh.
He's a composer.
He's like John Williams doing like Star Wars.
But shouldn't it be like this? But now he's doing it. Doesn't this guy kind of look blind when he's doing this? He's just using his sense of hearing. So it's like you're just feeling the music, you know? Just playing with
he's in the zone.
Yeah, he really is. It's all about the music. He doesn't see anything. I love it. It's very cool. All right. Robbie Anderson was a guy I brought up before we hit the break because Robbie Anderson went on a streak that second half of the year where he was very fantasy viable. Scott, you were the one that just mentioned that we're going to look at teams like the Jets and be like, there's no one else to catch the ball. That's how we get to Quincy Enunwa, who Corey mentioned a moment ago, and that's how we get to sophomore Robbie Anderson. I get it. Christian Hackenberg may be the quarterback of this team. Maybe it's Josh McCown, though. If it is, they're going to throw the ball to somebody. Why not Robbie Anderson?
It could be Robbie Anderson, but he could have a role as the deep threat. I mean, they drafted two rookies this year, and one of them actually might be a chain mover, and the other could be a big play guy. You know, I was talking to Jerry Beach, who covers the Jets for the Sports Exchange, and he was saying that okay, Adarius Stewart, the guy they drafted in the third round. You know, he could be a downfield playmaker for these guys, but he really, really likes Chad Hansen as maybe the guy who could be the Jets' go-to receiver this year. He's actually, like, drawn some early comparisons to Hines Ward.
I don't even know who Chad Hansen is. So that's a very interesting one. A deep, deep, deep sleeper for you.
He said this guy covers the Jets. He said Hansen could be their best receiver.
We'll see.
A lot of people are talking about Stewart, too. And I think Robbie Anderson was the guy that you already saw last year. He had a nice connection with Bryce Petty. But who is McCown? That's the thing. Who is McCown in camp and in the preseason going to be latching onto? And Hansen might be their best chain mover.
Well, I think the answer would be Quincy Enunwa off the top of my head, but I don't know if that's going to be the case.
Yeah, but even with Quincy, I kind of really want him more as a bench guy, like first guy off the bench,
okay.
or like a bye week fill in.
Okay,
I know somebody's got to catch the ball, but if they do go to Hackenberg, and I don't think Hackenberg should even be on the damn team.
Sure.
So that's going to get really ugly. Stewart, the guy that Scott mentioned there, third round draft pick. I think he's a guy that's maybe more for like a dynasty. He might have some flashes. You know, maybe he's more of like that best ball guy you draft in the late 20s and stuff like that. Robbie Anderson, to me, I'm not going to draft him in any regular drafts. He's a guy that I'll have like on a watch list and stuff and see how that plays out.
Corey, is Robbie Anderson someone you can see yourself drafting?
No, I'm not fooling with no Robbie Anderson. I think he was a fluke at the end of last year when he came on. I really don't see it. I think it's Quincy and Newman. Like I said, this is not a situation you want to get involved with the New York Jets. I don't care, you know, the bench and stuff like that. It's I think it's going to be real ugly. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to get ugly, and I think it's going to stay ugly. And I'm not – I want to limit myself to Bilal Powell and Quincy and Newman. Powell is a starter. Enuma is a bench player.
Speaking of wide receivers like
she
Robbie
Anderson. Not a little bit.
Speaking of Robbie Anderson and wide receivers.
Control yourself.
Sorry.
I apologize for those listening having no idea what we're talking about. We're going to move on.
Hey. Go ahead, Greg.
Speaking of controlling themselves.
Sorry.
That's a really damn good dog. Scotty Downward Dog.
It's amazing.
Does anybody at this table want Laquon Treadwell on their team?
I'll take it. Hey, dollar make you holler. I'll take a flyer on them late. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of good talk coming out of OTAs and mini camps. They say Son is balling. So, yeah, I mean, obviously you want to see more in training camp and preseason and stuff like that. But if I'm like, if you know, he's a player that I'm going to monitor throughout the course of the training camp and preseason and stuff like that. I think Laquon Treadwell might have a little bit, you know, of heat this year.
I want to see him catch the ball first.
I saw him catch one last year. OTAs. It was crazy.
It seems fair. So you're saying you can see a little bit of a breakout as a sophomore for Laquon Treadwell?
I'm not going to say a breakout. He's a player of interest. He's a guy that I'm going to put an asterisk next to his name, not because he did steroids.
It's motivational. It's intangible. The talk out of Minnesota is like, if he doesn't show something this year, he might not even be on the roster next year.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how dire it is for Laquon Treadwell. We talked a lot about Jonathan Williams. We're going to talk about him again tomorrow on the show. So I'm going to skip him, a potential backup running back for LeSean McCoy, and touchdown score. And again, we're getting more about with Jonathan Williams on tomorrow on the show. But what about in the AFC East? We've talked a lot of the New England's running situation. We've talked about the Jets with Bilal Powell and Matt Forte. And, of course, Jonathan Williams we'll get to tomorrow. In Miami, you have Jay Ajayi, who is the workhorse. He is arguably a first-round pick at this point, arguably in that next tier of running backs after the big three. His backup, I think, as of now, is still Kenyon Drake.
I think it's Drake, yeah.
And Kenyon Drake is a sophomore. Not a high draft pick by any means, but Kenyon Drake is somebody that I think not enough people are talking about. Is he strictly a handcuff at this point? Scotty?
Yeah, some people might think it's Damian Williams, but internally the Dolphins, by all purports, really like Kenyon Drake. And if Ajayi was to go down, which could happen,
sure.
Let's not forget the injury history.
Yep.
I think they would look at Kenyon Drake to step forward and maybe be that guy. They feel like he's kind of versatile. They like what they saw in spurts last year. Kenyon Drake is maybe somebody you don't forget in your final round if you draft Jay Ajayi.
Is that the only reason you want Kenyon Drake, if you draft Jay Ajayi?
No, because, you know, especially playing a 20-round league. Look, Ajayi, let's not forget, there's an injury history, came into the NFL with bone on bone in the knee. You know, that's something that I push in the back of my mind. As much as I like Jay Ajayi, and I think he can be better next year, I don't know if I fully trust the health.
Okay.
And I think, you know, maybe that's what another reason why the Dolphins drafted Kenyon Drake, because they feel like he never have enough running back depth.
Matt.
Well, I think Damian Williams is like the pass catching back, the third. So yeah, I mean, Drake is that guy. I don't know if I'm going to see him on my teams. You know, maybe if I have JJ, that would probably be the only way I'm drafting him.
Yeah, I take he's a flyer. I'll put a dollar on him at the end of the draft. I think he's a good player.
What I find interesting, I don't want to forget this. Kenyon Drake was drafted earlier in the draft than Jay Ajayi was a year before. Right? Like, Kenyon Drake isn't some seventh round flyer. I mean, he was a third round Alabama draft pick, right?
I think he went to Alabama.
Kenyon Drake went to Clemson. He went to Alabama. Played obviously Clemson in the national championship game a couple of years ago. But Kenyon Drake was a third round pick out of Alabama who produces plenty of running backs. Not that they're all good, but they produce plenty of running backs. And I think that's a name to watch. Scott's right. Jay Ajayi came into the NFL bone on bone in that knee. That was a major injury concern for Ajayi. Major. I get everyone loves him now. Don't sleep on Kenyon Drake.
I'm not going to sleep on Kenyon Drake. I had him. I put him up. I actually started him 1 week last year. Wow. Things get tough with running back sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, it just
I also really like the name Kenyon Drake. That helps me out. Now, Drake brings up another interesting point for me. What?
I'm just figuring out what the Kenyon Drake. That was kind of random. You were just like, I like the name, too.
I do like the name Kenyon Drake.
The cool. Drake.
I mean, I'm the random one. Really?
But we don't expect it from you.
Anyway, Kenyon Drake kind of leads me to a larger point in regards to handcuffs, guys. What is your opinion on handcuffs? Is it something that when you have Ezekiel Elliott or David Johnson or Le'Veon Bell, like, you need to get one of those guys? Or do you look at it by the situation, right? Like, all right, J.J. has got bone in his knee. Let me go grab, whether you own J.J. or not, let me go grab a Kenyon Drake, right? Like, do you target your own handcuffs, or do you target the handcuffs of, you know, guys that are potentially are the most injured, right? Like, how does the handcuff game work for
you?
It
goes by situation, because sometimes the guy isn't always clear at the beginning of the season. Like, who is Frank Gore's handcuff? Is it Turbin? It's somebody else? You know, when you look in Seattle, is Eddie Lacy? You don't draft C.J. ProSize just because you have Eddie Lacy, or draft Thomas Rawls because you have Eddie Lacy necessarily, because, you know, who knows? Rawls could, you know, leapfrog Lacy at some point. You never know. Sometimes the handcuff doesn't become apparent until during the season as well. So it really depends on the situation. It's like, and then you got a situation like Atlanta, like Coleman's not the handcuff.
And I understand
to understand Freeman.
That. He's not. That's not the conversation.
It's Terran Ward.
Here's the thing. In my opinion, the handcuffs, I think you want to handcuff Le'Veon Bell. You want to handcuff Ezekiel Elliott. You want to handcuff LeSean McCoy. You want to handcuff DeMarco Murray. You want to handcuff Jay Ajayi, Fournette.
You want to handcuff Melvin Gordon?
Yeah, I don't. Look, that's really
who's the handcuff for?
Who's
for,
the handcuff?
Who's the handcuff for Fournette though? Is it Ivory or is it Yeldon?
I mean, think the best handcuff on the board is Jonathan Williams in Buffalo.
That's the best handcuff on the board. Williams is going to have a role this year. I think everybody.
Not Darren McFadden.
Yeah. Hey, look, everybody's anointing James Conner as this, you know, he's going to step in and do exactly
what... I think he is, Matt.
Derek Henry's the best handcuff.
D'Angelo Williams did?
I don't know if he can. I don't know if he's the same back. I think that's asking a lot for a rookie in his first year. I understand the situation. It's Pittsburgh, that offense. But you're asking this kid to step in year one, all of a sudden be this, you know...
Sure.
He can be D'Angelo. I don't know if that's going to happen.
When I say handcuff, I'm talking about a player that doesn't have no real value. Well, Williams does have, but I think Henry is a player that you can play. You know what I'm saying?
But he still is the handcuff to DeMarco, really, though.
He is the handcuff, but you can play
him.
He's
a flex option.
He's not going to be
drafted. You can play him, but when you say top handcuff, that's what I think of.
And handcuffs don't go in the eighth round, where Derrick Henry is going. Handcuff is Jonathan Williams, who go round 12, 13, stuff like that. You know what I mean?
So I agree, and that's kind of where Matt's guy. Like, the guys you name, like Tevin Coleman, obviously, he's not a handcuff, right? Yeah. He's just not. C.J. ProSize is not a handcuff.
That's what I'm saying. You always look at the situation.
Yes, but that's not the conversation I'm trying to have. The conversation I'm trying to have is about the strict handcuffs, right? Like, the Darren McFadden's. Maybe not even Jonathan Williams, because he might have some other value. I want to know, in regards, we'll do it when we come back and wrap up the show with it. When you have a strict handcuff, how into it are you in taking these guys? Like, how important is it for you to grab a guy like Kenyon Drake, who is nothing but a handcuff? Whether you own a giant or not, I want to know about the handcuff. We're going to do that and send you into the fantasy football frenzy, part of the Roto Experts block here on the Fantasy Sports Network. When we return, Roto Experts in the Morning wraps up right after this.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Final 5 minutes here.
You're growing your hips right there, too, Scott.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Getting a little fresh.
He's the Jewish Elvis.
What was that?
I called you the Jewish Elvis.
Really?
I didn't know.
You were shaking
that. That would be Neil Diamond.
Yes, it would be Neil Diamond.
I wanted to wrap up the show talking about these handcuffs. I like to call it handcuff heaven for us. Because
handcuff heaven.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
I want to know. A guy like Kenyon Drake is exactly what I'm looking at. He is nothing but a handcuff. And as Tony Jakata points out, like, maybe we shouldn't be dismissing Damian Williams so quickly.
Well, yeah, Damian Williams had a nice part of the scoring offense last year. So, I mean, but to me, like, these are guys that are best ball players. They're not in a 16-round draft. You're not drafting these guys, in my opinion.
You can't write off Williams, but I think ideally they would want to have Drake as that guy behind Ajayi.
Sorry.
Big fan of Damian Williams?
No, I just hit the button, but I just hit the ding by accident. Promo code free radio.
But you know, Williams is there is like, look, if Drake is not ready, they know they can go to Williams. So is it really a clear handcuff situation?
Maybe not.
I mean,
that's the whole thing.
Maybe not.
Yeah, like later on, after double digits, I'd rather draft a guy like Alvin Kamara, who, if he gets that Reggie Bush role, I know he could possibly get like 15 points a week.
So I guess my question is, ultimately, you would rather a guy like Alvin Kamara, like Jonathan Williams, like CJ Prosize, guys that have, you know, a minimal role potentially each and every week, rather than a pure handcuff that if a guy gets hurt, you have the number one running back. That is more important to you?
Yeah, I want the situations. After round 10, once we get into those double digits and I'm picking guys, and, you know, if players are in a PPR, like a Chris Thompson, I'm not going to forget about him.
Yeah, you can't.
He has value.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of taking somebody's handcuff, I can get a third down back, a guy who's going to catch passes. I know he has a role in that offense. So.
Okay, Corey, the same question goes for you. Would you rather have the Chris Thompsons of the world rather than a strict handcuff that, like, listen, let's say you don't draft Ezekiel Elliott, but you draft Darren McFadden because if Zeke goes down, you have a running back behind the Cowboys line.
It's a timeshare.
Okay.
It's a timeshare with Alfred Morris if Zeke goes down. Knock on wood. It's not wood, but I'll get to some. Thank you, Greg.
For you.
He's a Giant fan. Thank you.
We're friends.
I fooled him.
I mean, you figure if Jordan Howard go down, Jeremy Langford would be the guy.
Jeremy Langford's an effing bum.
So you can't fool with him.
I'd rather get somebody off the waiver wire that's not Jeremy Langford if Jordan Howard goes down. So I think a lot of times it could be options on the waiver wire, like a Chris Thompson, like you say, a guy like that has a little bit more upside than fooling with some of these handcuffs. But I do think there are some important handcuffs, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather draft the Terrence West. At least I know for the first 4 weeks he's going to have a gig.
You know what I'm saying?
So ultimately, if you have a top three pick, Matt, do you make sure you get a handcuff or no?
Not really. I mean, I had Le'Veon Bell in my best ball NFBC, and I didn't wind up getting Connor.
I get to the later rounds.
That position has so much of an important role in Pittsburgh's offense. That's why I think that it's important
behind Bell. I'm not looking strictly at a handcuff like either of these guys, but I get to the later rounds and say, well, okay, if Bell, you know, gets off real trouble or hurt, Connor's still there. Even if I don't have Le'Veon Bell, maybe I'll take him.
But that's what I'm asking. Yeah. It doesn't sound like these guys care about that.
I don't either. Yeah.
You just told me you will draft Connor.
I'm saying even if I don't have Le'Veon Bell.
I understand.
Bell.
No, I understand that. Matt, for instance, has Le'Veon Bell. He doesn't care about James Connor. I can't imagine drafting James Connor without him.
If I have Le'Veon Bell and Connor's still there in the 15th round, I'll do it.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's fine.
With some cases, I will. Yeah.
I am with you.
Yeah, it would have to be like a late round.
But if I don't get him, I'm not going to cry.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not going out of my way. Yeah. Put it that way.
Corey, what's coming up next in Fantasy Football Frenzy?
Obviously, today is a high holy day in fantasy football as we kick off Scott Fishbowl. Scott Fish will join us right here on the program in about 40 minutes or so from now. So, Scott Fish, we'll also be talking some Buffalo Bills a little bit later on with Ryan Talbot. He covers the Bills for NewYorkUpstate.com.
Fantasy Football Frenzy, part of the Roto Experts in the Morning block. This is the Roto Experts for Matt Modica, for Scott Engel, and for the fantasy executive, Corey Parson. I'm Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of your Monday. See you tomorrow, 7 a.m. Eastern.